Topic tonight, Nega. Very original topic, because we have the parsha. And so the first page is a piece from Hirsch, where he deals with what does the word Nega mean? How do you translate the word Nega? So he grapples with the translation of a good translation of the word. For the actual copy of the page where he has the translation on the top, was on the previous page and put it in. He translated it as a plague. Okay? And by far, the majority of cases in which the word nega occurs, it definitely refers not to a condition of ordinary disease, but to one which comes especially sent by God. The person affected is nagua, literally touched by the finger of God. The word maga, the touch. So the nega is from touching. He's touched. Is a weaker form of nogaf, which from which you get magefa, the sudden stroke of death. The word disease, by which it is usually translated, which you have used here in default of knowing a really fitting one, by no means expresses the idea of nega. Using the word disease is wrong. Plague also is scarcely any better. It only refers to a person affected and makes no reference as nega to the idea of its origin. So the word hurrius refers to the explicit chazal, b'sadi nega tsuras b'beis erz b'chuz hatzchem, later on. Includes from that it, that is from it that for nigei adam too, only such nagoyim are excluded from tuma, which can be referred back to other pathological causes, need not be taken as being directly sent by God. And the more it brings over there, it says that the word nega comes if we can assign that the nega came because of kishu, because of shadim. It's not tome. There's no tuma on it. It's only something which we cannot put any other source other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's where the tumah comes from. So the tumah, which is connected to the idea of Nagoyim, has to be raised specifically because it's clear that it's not because of a disease. It's the opposite. If I could find some natural reason why it's there, then it's not going to be tumah. By definition, that's what the Mor is saying, it's the Mor in Hurrius. So Nega, the best way to translate Nega is because it's actually clearly the finger of God. And Hashem has touched him, as it were. Beautiful thought. Let's see what I can do with this. The next page is a brief piece from the same Yishmol. Obviously, the Baalei Machshava, the same Yishmol, Reb Tzadik, and Sasemis, touching a lot of minyanim over here. Hinein Maros Maros Megoyim Isa Bekuzeri. So the Shem Yishmol says, as the Kuzari says, Shumach was histalkus or heloki, the Kabushim histalkus ruach achai me other menisha guf meis nishtanam areyu. Just like when the neshama leaves a person totally, the body changes. Kamokain histalkus or heloki, nira shini mara. So when the person loses some element of his divine countenance, the or heloki, there's a certain level of kedusha of the neshama, so the body's going to change. So what he's adding over here, that the nega is we almost as opposed to that Bereshim has to physically generate the nega, it's the opposite. By the Bereshim taking away the Or HaLoki, memela the nega is going to occur, because that's a natural response. Just like when you take away the neshama, the natural response is the body is going to have deterioration. So you take away this, the human being, or the Yisrael, Tumas Negoyim doesn't apply to Akum, which now we understand why. Because they didn't have the Or HaElohi to start with, that you're saying that now they're losing the Or HaElohi. So, but a person who has Or HaElohi and loses it is going to be an element of, and the Pasuk actually refers to the Basar of the Metzora as Basar Meis. That's the Pesukim at the end of Balois, who talks about Miriam, and the Chiat Saras. It talks about the Altihika Meis. There's the element of Mesa involved in it. Chazal said there's four people which are compared to consider like their Meis, one of them is Metzora. He's alive, right? But in this sense, there's something, some element of Mesa which applies to him. So that's what the Shem Shmuel is adding based on the Kuzari, that it's not an active act of being noigef him, but it's just the removal which causes it. Okay. The next piece is a piece from Rav David Hoffman.
Wouldn't you think, though, other organs would be affected? Because the whole body, when someone dies, everything is affected.
So it's an interesting question. So you see from Chazal, there's a piece of Chavetz Chaim, which I didn't put into the packet, that theoretically could affect other parts of the body, it seems to me, because he brings some based on a shloah, that the ikar place that a nega takes place is on the neshama, not on the guf. And the idea of negoyim is trenes chesed, because since the nega moves from the neshama onto the guf, it expresses itself, it can be processed and removed. But nowadays we don't have negoyim, so it remains stuck on the neshama. When a person goes to shemayim, he walks into the holy, holy place over there with this tzaraz, and they pull away from him. And he has to go through the process after death, which is not very geshmak. So he says that we lost the chesed of having the goyim here in this world. But it seems to be that the way he seems to write, when the whole thing was only, theoretically, he could really express itself in other parts of the body also. Okay, the next piece is a fascinating piece. The Sefer is from Rav David Zvi Hoffman, Rav David Hoffman. I don't know how many of you have heard of him yet. So Rav David Hoffman was the one of the Magidei Shir professors, I guess, in the Rabbiner Seminar from Rabbi Zil Hildesheimer. It was the Orthodox Rabbiner Seminar in Berlin, as opposed to the Rabbiner Seminar of the Reform, which is in Berlin also. And he's most well known for his work against the Bible critics. Right, so when the Bible critics came along, and one of the there was this whole Wellhausen and these whole group of people came up, and the second half of the 19th century, this idea that the Bible is written by multiple authors based on different proofs and, you know, questions, etc. Half the stuff is ridiculous, and half the stuff is questions, you know, you have to answer them. But and they started writing like whole different theories, you know. So there's the writer who likes to use the word Elohim writer, and there's like a writer who likes to use the word Havayah writer, and there's like different writers, and that's why they explain different things based on that. So he wrote a Pirush and Chumash to debunk a lot of their stupidities. So it was put out by the Rabbiner Seminar, etc. It's a German work, with the long-windedness of a German work. It's written in Hebrew, I'm saying, but it's a German work. Some elements are very scholarly, but he has some fascinating insights. There's fascinating things over there. I just want to tell you, this is like, I had a Misa. I was in Dayton, Ohio for a seed program. The person running the program asked me if I'd be willing to learn with this individual who's coming in, who's read a lot of Bible criticism, and he wants to get answers to his questions. He said, okay, fine. So the guy walks in. So he tells me his story. He says that he went to a Aish discovery weekend, which the whole purpose of the weekend is to prove that the Bible is divine, right? And he said, you know, the Bible's divine, I got to keep it. I don't want to change my lifestyle, right? So I decided, I want to see if there's any proofs that the Bible's not divine. Like, you know, there's counter proofs, you know? So he's been reading this works of Bible criticism, which prove that the Bible's not divine. Like, that's, you know, and now he can just stay the way he is. He says to me, one of my friends said to me, like, you know, like who cares what's divine or not divine? You don't want to do it, don't do it. He says, no, that's not true. If it's divine, I got to do it. You know, that much honesty he had. If it's real, I got to do it. I don't want to do it, so I'd rather prefer that it's not real. All right. So where's his source he's reading? He's reading from a work, and he quotes the name of a work. This is written by a Reform rabbi who was a professor at Hebrew Union College.
At Neusner? Jacob Neusner?
I don't know which one it was, but the... Okay, so... Now, here's a guy who has elements of honesty, right? Because, you know, he says, if it's true, I'm going to do it. I don't want to do it, but if it's true, I'm going to do it. You know, so let me hear your first proof. He says, okay, the first one, he says, he wants to know that it has to be two different writers, because you see by the story of, you know, of Noah, sometimes it says there was two by two, sometimes there was seven. Gval Gakash. This is his first kash. This is a raya that there's two different writers. And I got your mind. You know, like I said, you know, says, I want to point out somebody. Somebody asked this question, really. One of the early commentators says, really? Who? Says, his name is Rashi. You know? And he says, you know, when they live, you live, you know, etc. Fine. He says, you think the guy who wrote this book knew about Rashi? Everybody knows about Rashi. He said, of course. She says, he didn't quote? But somebody, he wrote as if, like, he came up with this kasha. Like, it's his. He, you know, discovered America. You know, like,
right.
I says, so immediately, his, the whole fellow's whole credibility got undermined because, like, how could you do that? You're, you know, how, I said, there's nobody who learns the Torah honestly who's not aware of the Rashi. It's Rashi. How can I know Rashi? So I showed him the Rashi, showed him inside, I saw the explanations. Okay. Next question, he says to me, if you look at the story in how, you know, with David and Goliath, the story as presented in Shmuel, the story presented in the Rayom, remember two different stories. He says, interesting kasha. The Radak asked the kasha. Good. To show him the Radak, you know. And kids are, you know, by the time I finished, the poor guy, like, you know, and he says, I'm sorry, this book is not credible. It's not, you know, like, he's making up questions, like he thought of these phenomenal, like, brilliant idiocies, you know, I mean, like, you know, like, so I, my respect for Bible criticism is not great. Anyway.
So what happened to the guy?
I don't know. I don't know what happened to the guy. I know the guy was having a lot of conflict at that point in time.
It's all your fault.
I left it to the rabbi. I said, Rabbi, I told the story what happened after our session. It's your baby, buddy. You know, you deal with it. Okay, so a lot of what Robert Hoffman does, he does follow Rav Hirsch, and a lot of it deals with symbolism, etc. He does follow Rav Hirsch in that respect. Okay, so this is in Vayikra Yud Aleph, which is really not the Parsha of Tzivir Matzar yet. This is at the end of Parsha Shmini, where the Torah introduces for the first time a Chol Sasuris, and then it deals in Inyan of Tumah. We have all the halachas of Tumah and Tahara regards to dead animals and Shratzim, etc. So that's the first introduction to the concept of Tumah. So in that respect, you know, he talks about the following. Nifna atel abir the only tumas atara she rav gino seyem dereshes baharchives hasbora. So that word is his, one of his words. Rav gavani means multicolored, multifaceted. Okay. So there's such a word, but making it one word, it's rav. You know, it's like it's interesting usage. Anyway. So. She's with but the worm shehem mishamshim makara tuma nimsa. We will see with exclusion of some of the processes of special karbanas, etc. Shloisha sugim shel tuma. That's basically three different types of tuma. The tumas mesim and the adam elchaim mesim the of sheretz. You have the tumas which are generated from death, be it death of a human being, be it death of an animal, etc. Okay, beis the tumas habos min noisli miguf adam. These are the tumas hayotzim min haguf. They come, right? And then there's tumas nagoy. There's three categories. And that's not his. This is not his kiddush. That's a lot of people use this. We divide the tumas into three categories. Okay. Point number one. Each one of the different levels of tumah generate the halacha that you're not allowed to enter into certain areas. Right? There's certain areas which are usher to a person who has different levels, different types of tumah. Hainu atameim min asugim rishon tumas meis the veil of sheretz yotzim rak min hamikdash. They cannot go into the base of mikdash. They cannot what's referred to is referred to the halacha mimachna hashkina. Okay, el masugim hasheni yotzim ach mitoich amachna hasheni hainu mimachna levim. They can't enter into Machal Leviyah. So in the midbor, the three sections, there was the Mishkan was, Moshe Aaron and Bonav of the Mishkan, there was Leviyim around that, and there was Klai Yisrael around that. So there's three Machlas were Machla Shkina, Machla Leviyah, and Machla Yisrael. Correspondingly, in Eretz Yisrael, the basic Mishkan itself was Machla Shkina. The Har Abayis was corresponding in Halacha to Machla Leviyah, and Yerushalayim was Machla Yisrael. That's how we divided up. So they left the mikdash, which is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They left, leaving, being with the people, which are the close, the servants of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, those who serve him, the Leviyim, the Kerubim of Hashem, or they leave Am Yisrael. Those are the three ways of rewriting that thought. We refer to chet as tumah as well, and that causes the shkina to leave Klal Yisrael. Right? The Rosh Hashanah says that at a certain level of tumah, I'm not going to be with them anymore. Whatever it is, shemaisa kapora hachigigi achas shana b'shalya matras al chapra al mikdash asheichem b'seich tumah is bnei Yisrael. And the Rosh Hashanah says it's b'chapra, and that the Rosh Hashanah shachem b'seich tumah is bnei Yisrael. So then we have a right to then draw parallels between Tumah and Chet, because that's clearly a usage for the Torah recognizes. So if you look at the three Madregas, I would suggest the three Madregas are the following. So the next paragraph says, there are various Klapi Hashem. There are various which a person does which are between him and his Creator. There is a various Adam La'atzmihu, the damage a human being does to his own being. The various which are primarily it's ben adam la'atzmai, and gimel various ben adam la'chavera hachatoy meklapei achever, which are the various which impact the society, etc. Okay, so his argument is going to be, if I know which group has to leave which place, I can then see these different types of various. A person who has the vera of the first type, which is the vera klapi Hashem, cannot be with Hashem, he cannot be in the Mikdash. A person who is degrading himself cannot be together with the people who are the Avdei Hashem and the servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Levim. And the person who is damaging the society cannot be with the society. And he has to leave, the person who has Nagoyim has to leave from the greater society. That's how he makes the division. And he says, why would I see those? Okay, so that makes sense. So, why do I see the elements of Misa, the tumas of Misa, as being having to do with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Why do I see the tumas which are Yetzim Guf having to do with the person himself? Why do I see the tumas of the Goyim having to do with the society? So that's what he has to fill in. Negev l'sugar rishon l'averus tumas yesh l'sum leiv l'dvar meila. Think about the following: Adam hamiyur la'avodas Hashem l'davka boy le'avosayim lishmar mekarla. The man was created to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The truth is the proper punishment for we are guests in this world, right? And we have a right to be booted out whenever we don't act properly. Right? I invite somebody into the company, right? You know, I want him to do his work. He's not doing his work. So I say, excuse me, you're fired. Well, in the terms of life, that means. Right. I once read, I mentioned to you, there was a magazine called Light Magazine. I mentioned that to you. Light Magazine was put out by a person named Rav Shia Lyman. That's Rabbi Lyman's uncle, Rav Shia Lyman, Olav Shalom, Rav Shia Lyman's brother. And this was in the 70s and 80s. He felt it wasn't so much in the way of, you know, Jewish literature, etc. So he put out a magazine called Light Magazine. And every week came out monthly, I think, or bi-monthly. There was a story in there, and there was some comment, you know, it's, you know, interesting things. So eventually they took some of the stories and they published it in books. So in one of the books, they have a story over there. The title of the story is called The Audit. I told you this, right? Okay. So this fellow is this, you know, very chashuv lawyer, etc. And he's about, you know, his wife went to bed. He lives in a very, very fancy neighborhood, etc. You know, and he's about to go to bed, and there's a knock on the door. He looks out, opens the door, and there's this Meir Shurim, you know, looking in, who walks in with a briefcase and the whole thing, you know. Right? He says his name is Rebellio, and he's here to make an audit. The guy says, I have an audit already. He says, no, this is a different type of audit. Right? He sits down by the table, you know, takes out his calculator, takes out his, you know, the files, etc. And he starts going through this and says, like, what's this all about? He says, well, we're going to do a heavenly audit on your how you've been doing with your business of life. Right? So he starts going through, you know, so based on, you know, section Arachayim, chapter 1, you know, paragraph 3, you know, you transgress this paragraph so many times in your lifetime, you know, etc. They start making the list, you know. Right? And then he says, you know, you also have another problem, says, you know, that you've been overworking and underlearning. He says, what does that mean? She said, well, it's, you know, very simple, because, you know, like, you know, you have to be respectable, you know. I need, he says, yeah, you know, okay, that tie that you're wearing, how much does that tie cost? He says, you know, this book, remember the story is written in 1970, right? He says, you know, it costs $28. He says, how much would it cost to get a tie which would be respectable for your work? You would be, without, you know, not compromising your respectability at all, how, he says, $5. So it means $22 was time you, money that you spent that you didn't need to. Well, how long did it take you to make that money? Well, let's work out your calculating. How much he makes per hour, etc. Well, it comes out that, you know, so he could have learned 15 minutes more time. Good. So then he starts going through every single item in the house. The time he's finished, he says, you know, he starts to, okay, now let's take all the time you could have learned, what you could have accomplished. Well, you could have counted the time, you know, three times two shots, da, 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 da. He says, now. But that's based on, the you know, assuming that you remain the same. But of course, your person gets better. He puts a new calculation in there. It pops out, he could have finished all of Shulchan Aruch, you know, he would come a Rav, da, 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 da. He says, okay. All of a sudden, he says, it looks based on everything we have over here that there's going to be a writ of seizure for your neshama.
It's
going to
be a what?
Writ of seizure.
We're taking it back.
Taking back the property. But over here, the writ of seizure is for the neshama. He says, "Oyvei." He says, "No, you can make a request for a stay of abeyance. You know, put it in abeyance.
Extension.
No, you make it, and you have to make an offer to the court. Well, what are you offering to the court? And he, this whole thing is like, you know, and I read this thing like, you know, and like the one thing which hit me, he says, that the fellow says, based on the chapter Arachayim, chapter 5, paragraph 1, which is the lachas of having kavanah when you say Hashem's name." He says, you've said in your lifetime Hashem's name. He says, like, you know, 9,473,322 times, and you've fulfilled this obligation 54 times. Like, you know, like, Misa is, we're supposed to be here through Avod Hashem. That's what we're here for. And if we come read of Hashem, it's Misa. It's not our Oyvish, it's not an Oyvish. It's like, well, you know, like, why are you here? Like, what's the point? And I have to tell you, there's a maisa that there's a yid. His name is, last name is Schlossberg. I'm not pulling out his first name right now. Chaim Schlossberg. I forgot him. The art scroll. They have an art scroll book called Rebellion. And he wrote it. So Rebellion is about Rebellion Lapian. Rebellion Lapian was a tzaddik. The man was a tzaddik. Chazani said about him, he says, if you want to see Emunah Belev, you look at the Lev Eliyahu. That was like they published this, they called Lev Eliyahu, Rabbi Lapian, because his heart was so full, just full of emotion vis-a-vis Hashem and Emunah and Kodesh Baruch Hu. He lived to be well into his 90s. It's at the age of 90 something, his representative passed away, and Bacham used to live in his house. So this Schlossberg had been the Heusbacher. He lived with the Rabbi in the house, and he was there to take care of him and help him, etc. So he noticed Rabbi was getting up earlier than usual. Right. I started getting up early, really early. He says, he needs his sleep. He's not well. You know. He says, like, he finally asked, like, you know, Rebbe, like, why? He says, you know, what happens after 20 years? You come to Shemayim, and they ask you, did you keep the Torah? And you say, yes. He says, okay, no problem. They pull up the Shulchan Aruch off the shelf. They start going through sif by sif. And they ask you, did you keep the sif? Did you keep the sif? Did you keep the sif? And they're going through every single sif. Shulchan Aruch. That's our code of law. And one after the other, they ask you, did you keep it or not? You know, and they have the answer. Right? He says, so imagine a person in that situation, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, somewhere in Simon, you know, Chav Zion, you know, the answer is no. It's bad, right? But imagine in Sif Aleph.
Let's get the first one right.
You know, Sif Aleph, you Archaim Aleph, you blow it. Like, what's going to be? The first Sif is that the person is Gabra Kari to get up in the Fnei HaShachar to the Avodah Zarah. He says, what are you supposed to do? Like, you know, that's Rabbi Lapian said. Okay. The Mishnah tonight is not about that. It's not the topic. Okay. Misa hiya hibuch shemenachayim anitzkim shal haruach. Misa is where the ruach is not functioning properly. Mishanoga b'meis also in the kolos amach na'ashem ha'kayim l'netzach. So if you've connected to meis in some extent, that means you've experienced, there's a beautiful word, the Redesser says, because I'll say that why in Parshas Nosai, so you have the story of the Saita, and then you have the story, then you look at the Nosai. So because I'll say, because the person is Rosh Hashanah Kukula, yeah, that's a minayin, right? So he says, so let's get this clear. So the person was standing in the Beis HaMikdash. They brought a woman in. She claimed that she was been faithful. They gave her a drink and she blew up in front of you. He said, Ayvei, you're going to be drawn to do Zanus. So you better be out of some of the yayin. Like, that's a pretty great, pretty good deterrent right there, right?
Right.
Right? He says, no. See from Chazal, see from the Torah, the Chazal says, the biggest deterrent is it's not done. That's the biggest deterrent which exists. It's just not done. Nobody knows that. But once you know somebody does it, see, it can be done. This person got caught. I won't get caught. But the biggest line in the sand is nobody does it. It's just not, it's not in your thought process. A person, once it became in your thought process, even with a negative result, it's already part of your thought process. You have to respond to that. You have to do something. You must be yazat somebody. A person is noga b'meis. Means he met the moment where a person wasn't Ayved Hashem. That's what it means. So in some way that's, he's entered into the world of that there's a possibility of just not, life is not for being Ayved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because theoretically, if we truly be Ayved HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way the world was supposed to be, we'd be alive still. So touching a mace, impacting with Misa, means impacting with the idea that there's other usages of life other than Ayved HaKadosh. So you can't be in the Beis HaMikdash. You need to go through a process to, and he later on deals with how the process helps you deal with that. Okay, that's a suggestion. He says that's why we find that the Avodah Zorah is referred to as Zivchei Mesim, because the Avodah Zorah is that perfect between you and your Creator. It's the whole antithesis of the idea. So it's Misa. And the more it learns out that there's Tuma on the Avodah Zorah. It has Tuma like a mace. Like a maze, because it's Misa. It's death. That's what death is. Okay, the Suga Sheni is the Nyanam of Tuma. So it's not enough. Next paragraph. Yeshua Chami Yisrael Chiyub Lelu B'Vad L'Shamish Memlech Is Kanem L'Abad Asa V'Dos El Gam Heim L'Yos Goy Kodesh V'Kodesh Ein Arosh El Porish Kodesh is supposed to be Kodesh. So the Levim, these are the people who are set aside for the to be the Hashem. It's Kedusha. It's not type. It's not focusing after this world. Right? It's and these are tumas which are built in the concept of the elements of the physical desire, etc. That's the third one. That's the second one. The third one, the Sayyid Sugashti Shalavairis, Shalan Nakbila's Tumas Saras. Maybe I said all these bonus at both. They saw it really as Bidon Lachaber Ish Inyanim. We're going to see the Gemara. Okay. Fine. So, therefore, if this is represents a breakdown in Bidon Lachaber, so the Arnish for that is Saras. That's what he suggests. I put more of it in, but this is time wise, we're not going to have a chance to do all of it, so let's move on to the next thing. So let's hit the Rambam first. Let's hit the Rambam first. So this is the end of Hilchos. The Rambam in general, you know, even though the Sefer is a halacha Sefer, and you know, the purpose of the Rambam's Mishnah Torah was to create a compendium of all the mitzvahs and all the halachas that a person needs to know. Ram basically had in mind when he wrote the Sefer to be a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of all the halachas. He didn't write it to be the Lomdus Sefer that everybody sits and writes comment. And he wrote the Sefer, it should be basically an end all of all Svarim. There'd be no need to have anybody in the Sefer. It's Pesach Halacha, you know what to do, everything's one, we've solved all the world's problems. There's no Sefer which has generated more Svarim on it than other than the Rambam. Right? The Rambam, they have lists of bibliographies of how many. The Sefer, which is the most Sefer written on besides the Chumash, is the Rambam. So his goal of making it like the Sefer to be the be all and end all didn't work. That being said, their Timonim historically actually were Makabal Rambam as their Pesach. They didn't use Shulchan Aruch; they used Rambam. So Rambam told me one time he was sitting in the shul somewhere, and the Timonim kid walks in and takes Rambam and starts reading it like a Shulchan Aruch. I mean, he's reading Shulchan Aruch, line after line, like no lum, there's no arguments, no discussions, it's more like reading Shulchan Aruch. And the person is like, that's weird. So like, no, that's exactly what he had in mind. Like, that's what the Rambam had in mind. Okay. But at the end of each section, he usually puts in a Musa thought. There's actually a Sefer of somebody who was malakad all the Musa thoughts of the Rambam throughout the Yad and put it together into one sefer, so you can save the time reading the halakha part and just do the Musa part.
That's pretty cool. What is that called?
Musa Rambam, something like that. Okay. Tzaras he is shame or omer b'shutras kol yonim har b'shem dam inelazet. The word tzaras has under its umbrella many things, which we wouldn't see any connection between them. Okay, shrei loyven or ha'adam kari tzaras. The filas k'sas seir harosha zochan kari k'sas. Shini ena begadim the enemy is the appearance about them kari tzaras. Okay. Now, b'zeh shini ha'omer begalim u'abatim shkirasa tera tzaras b'shutvus Hashem enem min haga shalaylam. There's no logical explanation for this baggage all of a sudden turning green or turning red. It's not a mold that we're talking about. There isn't a bar mitzvah suggesting maybe it's a mold,
okay.
Right? But it's not the, right? All of a sudden in the house there's this green thing growing over there. It's not referring to that. Rambam says very clearly, it's a nace. Ela ois upela hoy b'Yisrael. Because mamash, it was a sign and a wonder. Kel hazira miloshen hara. Shem sepa miloshen hara. Mishtanas kiris base. A person would speak loshen hara. His house would the walls would change color. Mchazav bar yiter bayis. If he does tshuva, so the house would become tor. Im amad b'rishay. If he would not change. Ad shahuta tzabayis, and the house is now was destroyed. So then, what happens? He's still saying lashon hara. So mishtan kli ha'or shebebeisu shuyoshev b'shechelin. The leather seats that he would lie on, sit on, the mattress, the beds, etc., would change color. Im chazabay yitzuru v'imame b'rishay ad sheyisrufu. That if they, he doesn't. If he doesn't do tshuva, they don't become Torah. So they're burnt. And he's still saying his lashon hara. So then, mishtanam begadim sholov. And not only is it what he lies on, but actually the clothing which he wears will change color. His clothing is now burnt. And he's still speaking lashon hara. Mishtanam oray v'yitzdara. He'll become a mitzara. V'yeh muvdol mufursum avadai. He'll be distinct and clear. People will stay away from him. They'll avoid him. Kolachos, they have to avoid him. And shall he ask b'sichas of Rishoyim shul etzadus loshon hara, till he learns that he shouldn't be having this type of speech. Okay. I once read a online article. Somebody sent to me. I don't remember the name of the article. It's like years and years and years ago. Before I was able to read it online, somebody printed it out and gave it to me. That's how many years ago it was. About imagining what would be like to live in a world where there was tzaras. So, like, you know, you sit down by Shul Shuris, and the guy says, you know, you hear what happened to Yanko? What? All of a sudden, says, okay, like, it moves away from him. Like, what? Yeah. What's your arm? There's a white patch on his arm. They start describing that. Like, very intense. And he has to go to the Kayan, and the Kayan would give him Musar, etc. Now, so, Valinian Zem, Mazar Torah, he Shabbat Negus Ras, Zachariah said, Isa Shara Sashim, the Kachalim, Miriam, but there. So, Marshall commands us, don't be careful, don't get Saras, means be careful. Remember what Russia did to Miriam. So he goes to the Miriam. She was older. She raised him. She endangered her life to save him. She didn't actually insult him or say something negative about him. She just made a mistake. She compared them to other Nevi'im. And he wasn't upset at all. She never reached me. So tzaras can come under those circumstances. The kalv chaymer, the bnei adam who are shoyim atipshim, shemar miladaber, gedolus v'niflos. They say, you know, make up all these different types of speech about people. You can imagine how bad that is. The mishra roitz lechavin or chesav lisrachem yeshiva son. if you want to make sure that your path is correct, just stay away from them. And don't speak to them. You shouldn't be caught in their net. This is what happens. First, they have conversations of nothing significant. You hear the voice of Ksil, just he talks too much. While you're talking so much, so we mentioned something else, Rabbi so and so. Yeah, you should just know Rabbi so and so. You know, remember Talam Nasif Say Shekhar, Durbat Tzadikos. Hergul Dabr, but Rabim. Well, if you talk about Tzadikim, and then Rabim, Yeshaya, he wasn't so special, Yeshaya. I knew Yeshaya when he was a Bacher. You should know what he did. Well, so Dabr, Dibirim, Kinshinemar, Rahil, Malivim, Malachi, Elokim. They were insulting the messengers of Hashem, the Neviim. Boys them and devorim matatim and Neviim. Meterakach boy madam Rabbi Elokim recover maker. Eventually you talk against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kin shenemar bechapa bnei Yisrael devorim asher lo kein al Hashem elokeim. Ve'omer shatam shemayim piyem ulshem tilach baoritz. So they punch up their mouth against Shemayim. Me garm lahem losis b'shemayim piyem l'shem shalachu b'til chila baoritz, because they spoke too much down here. So you see, as a Rishoyim, Shigarmas Lam Yeshivas Kronos, Yeshivas Kinesias Lamy Oritz, Yeshivas Batesh Shos, Imshay Shay Secher. That's what happens if you sit in their shuls, you sit in their gatherings, you sit with them in the bar. That's what happens. Avasichas Ksheri Yisrael is Ainal of a different carbon kokma, because Baruch Hu, Ozal Yadam Zaka Sambo, Shinimra Ozid, Idru, Nibru, Yerushem, Ishal Rehu. The Yerushem will talk to each other, Yerushem, Yerushem, Yerushem will listen. And because of Sefer Zikaron, the font of the Yerushem of the Cheshire, the Bereshim will record that. Okay. So Rambam says that the order what's happening is first an egg on the bayis. Right? So you sit by the supper table, conversation goes bad. All of a sudden there's an egg on the wall. So the guy says, I'm not doing this again. The guy says, no, he doesn't get the message. He says, okay, so then it goes to the Rambam, he has four steps. It goes to the kli matzah, the things which you sit on or lie on. Eventually goes to the person's actual clothing. It goes to the person himself. That's how the Rambam has the order. The Rambam has the order a little bit differently. Let's see the Sipurna. It's a long Sipurna over here. Maybe. There's no doubt, there's nothing to talk about, that this is not natural. It doesn't have the change of colors. Unless you dye it and put it in somewhere, it doesn't happen by itself. It's with coloring, whether you intend it or not, but that's how it happens naturally. It doesn't happen naturally like this. And that can happen naturally, but there was some mistake which was made, etc., but not like this. Okay. The halacha is that it only applies, to big day love and white clothing, which has not been dyed. So it wasn't because of any other. It says Badafka, the color's there. There was no color there, it was a white color. Had a custom upon me here by Zachbel about the Ubegodim. So what's the puzzle telling us? That it happens on the clothing, it happens on the batim. It's to arouse them. It's to arouse them. Chazal said the same thought process happens by a person. Parshas Bahar, where Rashi quotes, is written al Seder. First, the problem is the person doesn't keep the whole office of Shavuos. Eventually, that happens, so he's forced to eventually sell his fields, Sarah Mikna. He doesn't chop, and he doesn't do tshuva, so eventually he has to sell his Deyachusa. Doesn't chop, doesn't do tshuva. Eventually, he has to sell himself as an Eved. At the end of the parsha, he's selling himself as an Eved to a Goy. Right? But it goes through this idea that the Rishon gives a message of punishment in a light way, hoping the person will respond to that, and then not have to do So all of nice and perish shriya, side markers katatala, well here goes side markers sadeyu. I'm sorry, this first step is he has to sell his real estate, but his mobile property. Chosen b'chabas Hashem alamoy, b'Hashem has with one of sinos. Chayim will chazal shem big day goyim and talim begodim in the goyim. Doesn't happen by goyim. Ki hu levado, I'm sorry. Mizek ki omam amin anushi hu tachas amulchum b'nsiyas or prat b'nsiyas and absodim. B'Hashem made us the purpose of the world. We have the kaicha b'chira, and the b'Hashem asked us to do that. Person gets drawn into things he shouldn't get drawn into. So he deserves to have a punishment, etc. But the Bereshit has Rachmanas that he does it in the way of. Okay. So the bottom of that piece, Kasher, the two lines on the bottom. Bachar Buma Yisrael, the Bereshit chose Klal Yisrael as that nation. Remember, B'chol B'char Hashem L'kach L'yus Loi Lam S'kulo. V'neshev T'ikvus HaMakum and V'itah Yisborach Hi Yosef Riyo Mitzuya B'ishe Zayis Uma. The Bereshit's hope that what mankind should accomplish is found in our nation Mimah Shetiyah B'ishe Zulosa, and it should be probably B'ishe Zulosa more than it's found in other nations. We have a Masara like that. Now, the Russian gave us the Torah to how to think and the actions to do properly. That's the fine. If you don't do that, you're going to get your serum to remind you. The Russian will not put the machl. If Klaisel in general is acting properly, so he's not throwing us out, the Yechidim will get special treatment. The first step will be Nigei Begodim. Asher Aleim Bo HaKabbalah Sheina Big Day Goyim and Tamim and Goyim. It doesn't apply to Goyim. It's only special chesed that Hashem does Nigei Begodim. So Yasmi said, you're a Nigei Batim. If a person doesn't get the message, then it's Begodim. So Rambam's thought process is from further distinct from the person to closer to the person. So the house, what he lies on, his clothing that he's wearing, his own body. The supporter has the order is first is nigei begodim, then nigei batim. Because I mean, to some extent, the need for shelter is greater than the need for clothing, right? So you end up with no clothing and no shelter, right? So that's the order. Asher behem gam ken lo yovan neged tzaras b'teva klal. The rosh lo yil begin goyim below b'teim etam and goyim kosher kibble him. That's why it doesn't apply to goyim. When the nation does not deserve this special treatment, and so we have no recollection of such this pala the Russian made, because we have no shaykhs to such a world where the Russian would have give us such a special treatment. Right. So he has to order differently. The Ramban also points out that the Ramban, the Rambam, the Surah all point out that it was clearly nige, nige adam. You could have said there is illnesses in the body, etc. There's no illness in a piece of clothing. There's no illness on a wall of a house. Fine. The next page is an Orach Chaim HaKadosh, which he just deals with and goes inside. He deals with the order is strange. However you learn, the order is strange. So the Torah writes the order Nige Adam, Nige Begadim, Nige Batim. So the order should have been either Nige Batim, Nige Begadim, Nige Adam, or Nige Begadim, Nige Batim, Nige Adam. That's how it's going to happen. Right? So the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, the Torah wrote a Badafka this way to tell you, listen, the message is, I want you to understand, really, it should be on you. I'm doing a chesed, I'm putting it, on other things, on the house, on the bag, etc. But the Bereshit's message is that's why it's written that way. Okay, what causes negoyim? So this is the Enyak of the Gemara in Erechin. The seven things which bring negoyim. Alashon Hara is one. Alshichas Damim. Alshuah Shav. Vagili Arayas, Vagasas Aruch, a person of Balgaiva, Valagazel, Valtsarasai, a person who's stingy. And it brings Sukkim for each one of them. So that's the Gemara's version. The Medrash, the next page, says, Al Asura Gemara in the Goyim Boyim. So there's you get those seven plus some more. Alavodah Zara, Agil Yerayas, Moshechus Damim, the three Chemuras, Vachil Hashem, Alberchus Hashem, person is Makalakos Baruch Hu, Alagozel Sarabim, Alagozel Shem Shaloi, Alagase Ruach, Alashan Harah, Ba'ayan Harah. Ayan Rah probably being something similar to Tzoras Ayan, a person who doesn't forgive somebody else, they should have something. And it brings Sukkim for all of that. So you can look at that if you want. Okay. The Meretz Tanchuma says, "Zayis yitzras amaserah." And then Rabbeinu al kama the worm and the goyim boyim aladim. Kashan or Rabbeinu al acharos of the worm and the goyim boyim aladim. So there's 11. Al brazar, v'chil l'ashem, v'chil l'rayis, v'chil l'ganevis, v'chil l'shan horab, v'chil l'meid edu sheker, v'chil l'dayim v'kalkal t'adin, v'chil l'shav, v'chil l'tchum shen shaloi. You're just thinking bad thoughts. Well, Mashalech Madon and Ben Achim, it causes animosity between people, between friends. Shemar Afalayan Ra'ah. Then he brings Sukkim for all of that, and that takes it to the end of the packet. No. It takes it to the end of the packet, right. So I'm trying to figure out if Reb David Tzvi Hoffman is right. Right? So if you're focusing on Lashon Hara, which is like the standard one, so yeah, that's Vedom L'Chavero, and that would be a very nice approach. But you know, Chazal, the Gemara, you know, the Medrash has about Azor, Gilirayas, Shrichas Damim, you know, Chil Hashem, both the Medrash Tanchuma and the Medrash. The Gemara is, doesn't have about Azor. Has Lashon Hara, which is Vedom L'Chavero, Shrifus Domim, Shua Shav, could mean between two individuals. Gilir Rayas is the person taking a bath of somebody improperly, possibly Gazel Zeruch, Gazel, Tzarasayan. So that you could sort of put on the umbrella of Vedom L'Chavero. Once you get to the Medrash, when it adds about Azorah, Chil Hashem, etc., different things like that, it seems to be more expansive.
Which one is his Ben Adam La'atmo?
Well, according to his list of Ben Adam La'atmo is if we look at the function of the person to be Kaddish, to relate to the world properly, so anything which has to do, in general, that has to do with the world of Taifu, which a lot of the Nyanam, a lot of the Tumas Yetzim Gufa, you have to do basically with the world of male-female interaction. So if a person is indulging in too much, so that's that you know, in a broad sense, that's how he sees it over there. So I want to share with you a thought, which I'm not sure if it explains it 100%. And maybe it just I think it gives at least a framework to think about it. Okay. I don't think I shared this with you. I was grappling with the division between Sefer Shmos and Sefer Vayikra. Did I discuss this with you? If you look at the place where the Torah divides it, it seems very difficult to understand why that's the spot. Right? So then the Sefer Shmos you have a Kodesh Malei Sefer Mishkan. The version was there. Vayikra Moshe, and he called Moshe, and then he spoke to him. Like, it's like, why? Like, it's a funny place to put the pause. It's the psukim read together. The Roshim was Kodesh Malei Sefer Mishkan, and he called Moshe into the Mishkan, and he spoke to him, and he gave him this mitzvah. So, just in chronologically, they seem to flow together. Okay, number one. Number two, the purpose of the Mishkan is Kribonis. So, theoretically, I could see Sefer Shmois, which is about Yisayas Mitzrayim, right, is Shmois through then the Mishpatim. Right? Then the Mishpatim has the last part talks about the end of the last capital of Mishpatim talks about Nasa Manishma, all the parts of the prayer. And now Matan Torah is finished. So, good. End of the Sefer. There's a new Sefer. Build a Mishkan, bring your bonus. I'm fine with that also. Right? Or, theoretically, we should say that, you know what? Mishkan is part of the Sefer Tribe as well. Okay, fine. Explain that to me. So, put Parshas Vayikra, Parshas Sav, and the first half of Shemini, which talks about Kabbalah, together with Sefer Shmois. Like, but why divide Mishkan on one side and Kabbalah on the other side and put Mishkan with Yisrael Mitzrayim? There's something we're missing. Okay, so that's what I was grappling with. So I had the following thought: if we go back to creation 101, right, the Bereshit created the world. So the Bereshit's goal in creating the world was, as it were, to create a partner. That there's a being which he's creating, which will be a partner in creation, and will be able to create a world for himself. His Olam Haba, the human being creates, it's the Russian did it in such a way that you do it in such a way you sort of earn it, you sort of, and therefore when you get it, you feel good about it because you're not embarrassed. So the Russian gave us to do that. The Russian gave us independence. If we would understand our reality in an obvious way of how much we are just part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we wouldn't be able to function as independent beings what the Russian wants us to do. So the Russian, as it were, when he created the world, sort of created enough space that we can perceive ourselves to exist as if we're independent. Okay, that's step number one. What was the purpose of that? That the human being should then turn around and reach out to his creator and join the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you think about that, that's a scary thought, because the most basic need a human being has is they want to exist. The most scary thing is we have is the loss of existence. Forget about the Bereshit and a man and a husband and a wife, right? So we ask the partners to submit to the other, be mevat to the other person. We have difficulty. Why do we have difficulty? Because we feel we're being diminished as human beings by doing so. We're losing part of our existence. I'm giving away part of my control to somebody else. What's the reality? The reality is when you do that, you become one and you have a greater being. But we're scared of it. Because at first glance, it seems the way we're giving away our being. So that's true vis-a-vis another human being. We look at Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, listen, if I really understand that I'm supposed to give up my existence to Kadosh Baruch Hu, because he really is my existence, so I don't exist anymore. I don't like not existing. So Adam Rishon says, Yisum Kevlakim. Great, sounds good. I'd rather be in control. What's the reality? When you submit, you become part of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you have existence. But we don't think like that. Sefer Bereishis is about the job of a man reaching out to Kadosh Baruch Hu and failing until Avraham Avinu comes along and says he reaches out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He seeks to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's given the mitzvah of milah. The Rosh Teva is the milah. The Rizal says, "Mi yala lanu hashemayma." Who is the person who can reach, go up to heaven? Okay, who is going to reach out to connect? Avraham Avinu does that. That is all those separations about mankind trying to get it right, reaching out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham does it. Yitzhak does it. Yaakov does it. They fail. They don't fail, etc. Okay. Sefer Shmos. Sefer Shmos is a whole new book. The person says, Yechidim are able to reach out to me and find me. A nation, which I want to have a nation of people doing this, it's not going to work. I need to reveal myself to them. So as much as he pulled himself out of the Bria, he's going to inject himself back into the Bria. So all of a sudden there's open Nisim and there's miracles and the person's presence is obvious. The Shmi Hashem, that I'm existence, I didn't show them. right? Being in Parshas Va'era. The Shmi Hashem, they didn't know me as Hashem. They didn't know as the source of all this. They didn't see me like that. They figured it out. That was their, I didn't reveal that to them. To you, I'm revealing that. I'm putting myself back into the picture. I'm the source of all existence. Till the point that the Vershon's presence dwells at Vayasov. That's the end of the Sefer Shmos. What's supposed to happen now? Vershon's, okay, fine. I took myself out, put myself back in a little bit. Now let's go back to plan A. You find me. That's Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra is the human being is makriv himself to Kadosh Baruch Hu. He brings himself close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Adarav, the Karbonus is, versus I've put myself in as far as I'm willing to go. My friends, it's your turn. That's what Sefer Yikra is about, the commands to do that. What are the kelim which allow you to do that? Okay? What is Sefer B'Midbar? Sefer B'Midbar is a versus, okay, continues with that thought. Let's arrange you around the Mishkan. Let's put the Mishkan there at the beginning, and we arrange you all around the Mishkan and focus on the Mishkan, etc. And then, okay, blow it, and then you blow it again. It's Klai Yisrael as a nation, not seeking out a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Bershom says, go there, says, no, well, let's think about ourselves. Excuse me, the whole idea was, I wasn't giving you this idea that you should say no. I was giving you the choice that you should have to say yes. Okay, fine. Okay, you know what Bershom says, don't go to this, okay? Let's go there, to Mapili. Now, Bershom says, Moshe is the Bechir. Nah, I think Karach is. It's Klai still grappling with the issue again, as a nation. That's the story of our five our four chumashim. The worm is a different ballgame, right? So if you think about it, it's a fascinating thing, right? So here is the first two and a half parshiyos are about karbonos. It's about the human being mamash bringing himself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then it starts a whole new conversation. The whole new conversation is about what are the things which are going to distance you to stay away from. Machalos Asuras. Eventually we'll talk about Bias Asuras. In between, we have the Parshas of Tuma. Before you have Machalos Asuras, Parshas Achrei Mois, you have the Bias Asuras, and in between you have Hilchos Tuma, which is the second half, the last half of the Shmini, the last half of the last Perek of Shmini, Tazriya Mitzara. Achrei Mois talks about the Baruch Hashem, how the Baruch Hashem gave us the process of Kippurah, of Tuma, in the base of Mikdash and Yom Kippur. Then it goes back to Kabbalah, don't bring Kabbalah outside of the base of Mikdash, and then it talks about all of the B'ezah service. So it's an interesting thing, again, if you would want to sort of write the book, I write, there's things which can schlep you away. Good, Machal service, B'ezah service, and then, it doesn't do that. It's in between, it puts this idea of Tuma. But if going back to our original thought, what is Tuma? Tuma is when the man perceives himself as being separate. Because the Barashim is life, and that's Chayim, Elokim Chayim. As much as you connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're alive. When you pull yourself away, you're not alive. That's what Tuma is. Tuma is the separation of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what what Chazal was seeing over here, that Tsaras, out of all the tumas, is the busser. You're walking around supposedly alive, and you're dead. When you're dead, you're dead. That's tumas meis. It's actually that's written way later on. The first tuma, which is described in the human being, besides the is the first one is birth. One of the ways to explain the idea of birth is mamish that the woman had a life inside of herself which she gave away. So there was a moment, there's an element of death over there. And the next one is Tsaras. Tsaras is that the part of the person is dead. He's not alive. And then you go on to the halachas of the Zav and the Nida and the Yoledes. That's the Zav and the Nida and the Tumas Kari, etc. That's the end of the Parshas of Mitzar. So I think at least what you can see how Avodah Zorah can't be not Tsaras.
That's it.
Chil Hashem cannot be not Tsaras. Birchas Hashem cannot be not Tsaras. Those have to be part of the picture. Right. So I think that's where I'm seeing my picture right. That's where I think that the matter is at in those points. But what is the fascinating, as a matter of fact, the fascinating half of the picture is the opposite. The Kiddush is not that there's a saras for Avodah Zarah and for Birchas Hashem and Chil Hashem. The Kiddush is a saras for Lashon Hara. Like, what's wrong with Lashon Hara? The Baruch made the interaction between mankind, between members of Klal Yisrael, so important that he said, that's also a lack of Chayim vis-a-vis me. Because each member of Klal Yisrael is part of the Chayim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how dare you distance yourself from that? You as a nation are now the ones who have the Chayim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So don't think that you can exist independently of that person. See, you're destroying your Chayim when you distance yourself from that person. So Mela, there's Tumas Aras. That's the Kiddush. The Kiddush is, you know, so maybe what he's saying, you know, David Hoffman is right in the sense that it's the tumah of it represents the tumah of the chevra, because that's where the Kiddush of Tsaras is over there. That, you know, the Gemara doesn't even mention those other ones, because like the Medrash says, like what else? Of course, this is Zivchei Mason. This is death. So it's Pasher Mace. I don't want to suggest the pshat, the thought process, but. I think, you know, if the pshat is not right, but at least I think in the general thought process of understanding the history of mankind and the flow of the chumashim, it's a very powerful thing to think about. Okay.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.